Hey, Pollyanna.
What did you call me?
I said you look like Pollyanna. Okay, ladies, I'm Tony Moss. I produce this show. I got one interest here, and that's the show. I don't care whether you live or die. I want to see you dance, and I want to see you smile. Spread out.
I've seen you before.
Yes, Mr. Moss, I auditioned for you in January. You told me to get my nose fixed.
Nose looks good. You know what, though? Your ears are sticking out. Come back and see me when you get them fixed.
From the enjoyably campy movie Showgirls from 1995, I'm Jim Tofte with The Fake Show, and the reason I played that clip is because I have a former showgirl on the phone with me right now. She's written a great semi-autobiographical novel that takes us behind the scenes in Las Vegas in the swinging 60s when she was a showgirl, a time when it was glamorous to be on stage in Las Vegas, and she got to know Sinatra, Elvis, and many others. The book is called Love Target. The author on the phone with me now is Heidi Loeb Hegerich.
Hello.
Hello, is this Heidi?
Yes, it is.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well. So you live in Reno now?
That's correct.
How long have you lived there?
It'll be my eighth year as of July. But my late husband and I, we developed a big golf community and a few years before he died, so...
When did you live in Las Vegas, Heidi?
I moved there in December 1959, basically 1960, and I worked there for 3.5 years.
How did that come to be? How did you end up in Las Vegas, and how old were you?
I was 16 and a half, and what happened was my parents and I, we immigrated from Munich, Germany, and I had come here like a year and a half earlier. And I totally hated it. And I was extremely unhappy. I cried every night. And, you know, my parents were very much aware how unhappy I was because I couldn't stand the school system. I didn't like anything.
Where did you move to originally, though?
To actually Hollywood, L.A.
Oh, okay. What was it about that area that you didn't like?
Well, you know, obviously I had to go to school. To me, that was the most pathetic school at the time. I came from a private school, and also we had much more harder courses than what you had over here. And I couldn't believe the behavior of in the school, how everybody talked back to the teacher. And
well, some things haven't changed, I guess.
Here, yes. I didn't like the food, and I just missed my friends, and you know, I missed everything about my hometown.
Was there any kind of a language barrier at
no,
the time,
or English? You know, I clearly was an accent, but just the kids used to stand around me, and they say, "Well, listen to how she says this." So I tried. I made a big effort in trying to speak like the Americans do, and it was at that time it was very easy for me. Where my parents lived, we had a pool, and the neighbor next door, you know, he used to see me, you know, swim in the pool every day after I got home from school. And one day he jumped in the pool with me, and he said to me, "Heidi, how would you like to become a showgirl in Las Vegas and make $225 a week?" And the minute I heard that, I translated it into D-marks at the time. And I said to myself, "Oh my God, all I'd have to do is work for 3 months and I can have enough money to go back to Germany."
Yeah.
So that was really how I wound up there.
What connection did he have to Las Vegas?
He was the choreographer of the Tropicana Hotel.
Oh, okay.
Which, at that time, it was Lou Walters ran the show. And he said, "You know, you will have to do an interview, you know, with Lou Walters." And I had no idea who anybody is. And he said to me, and he says, "Heidi, you know, try to look a little sexy." And at that time, you know, I didn't really know what that was, other than Audrey Hepburn was my idol.
Yes.
I bought a very straight dress with spaghetti straps. And I never obviously wore makeup, so I just put a little very light lipstick on, which nobody wore over here. And I had very long, straight blonde hair. And when he took me to the, it was on Sunset Boulevard. It was a famous club. And then, you know, Lou Walters, he looked at me and he said, "You know, how can I see your legs?" And he says, "You got to lift your skirt." And I thought I would die. I lifted up my skirt very quickly and put it right down again. And he asked the choreographer, "Does she know how to dance?" And he said, "Yes." And, you know, that's more or less how I got in.
But you were just 16 and
well,
a half years old?
At that time, I had a green card. And at that time, I altered my age to make myself 18. I did work for maybe a month or so. And I came off the first show, and the stage manager says to me, "Heidi, the immigration officers are here." And they talked to me and they said, "You know, we know that you are only 16 and a half and you can't work anymore. You have to go home." So I went back to the apartment and started packing my clothes, and the telephone rings, and it's Eddie Lynch, the stage manager, and he said, Heidi, come back to work for the second show. I went back to the show, and I did the second show, and after the show, the stage manager said, Heidi, you know, Major Riddle would like to see you after the show. And I said, and who is that? And he said, well, he's the owner of the hotel. And then, you know, he fixed everything that I could work underage.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty amazing. So the basis of your book, it's really interesting, I have to say. Now, I just got it from your publicist on Friday, so I've only read a little bit of it. But it really reminds me of the way that Xavier Hollander wrote her book. It's kind of a journey and a survivor story. Why did you decide to write it, though, in this style, which is kind of a fictionalized account? I mean, there are certainly pieces of you in there.
Well, yes, a lot. Obviously, some of the people are still alive, and just more or less to protect the innocent. And, you know, like I changed my husband's name, I changed everyone's name. I mean, my name, my first name really is Ingrid. It's Ingrid Heidi.
Interesting. And so it freed you up to really tell the story.
Right.
As I say, I like the way that that you've done it. The showgirls back then in the 60s, which is when you were there at the hotels, was very glamorous, and they were
certainly was, yeah.
They were treated like royalty,
yeah,
yes?
That's correct. I think it's a lot different than it is now.
Yeah, I mean, you actually were mingling, and I mean in more ways than one, with the celebrities, the people who were actually in the
correct,
showrooms.
Correct. The population in Vegas at that time was 48 or 49,000. So, you know.
Those who you got to hang out with, you were really with the likes of Frank Sinatra, and I know Harry Belafonte and Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I worked with a lot of, you know, stars as well, Tony Bennett and Louis Armstrong. You know, I knew everybody that was in town. We all, not just me, you know, we all did.
Was it commonplace for these guys to give you a call or to leave you a note and say, why don't we get together?
I was very protected due to the fact that Major Riddle took care of everything, and our stage manager really watched out for me. He would always tell me, you know, so-and-so wants to meet you. And he would only introduce me to guys that he thought were decent. I mean, it didn't always turn out that way, but most of the time it was. So.
How did it come to pass that you would end up getting together with Elvis?
Well, my roommate and I, between shows, you know, we would see other lounge shows, which were very popular at that time. Also, you know, pretty big stars would work. And in this case, we went to the Sahara, and Don Rickles was working there. H.D. knew us, and he gave us a nice booth right away, and we're sitting there for a few minutes, and he comes back to me with a tray in his hand, and he said, here's a note for you. And I said, you know, who is this? He said, read the note. And it says, you know, are you lonesome tonight? It's Elvis. He wants to buy you a drink.
And so you get together with Elvis, and when did you have a drink with him that night?
Yes.
I've read that some interesting things about your relationship with Elvis, starting with the fact that you were not exactly a fan of his music at the time.
Not at all. Because at that time, my girlfriend, like, it was the European girls primarily. We really only liked jazz. Of course, Ray Charles, which was my favorite, and, you know, many others in that field. I appreciate it now when I hear it, but not then. No.
I don't know how to broach this topic other than the fact that you became close enough with him that you actually became pregnant by Elvis,
yes,
correct?
Yeah.
And then he helped you...
Yeah, he did. He flew me to Memphis, and I had it done in the middle of the night, you know, through going through the back doors, etc. And
this was before he had gotten married to Priscilla.
Yeah.
I thought it was just funny how you said, I've never seen anyone, you sat down with him, and I've never seen anyone eat so much, that was one of his problems. Obviously, later in his life, that became a problem.
And also, remember when he had handed me that black pill, because he knew I had to work. I had to do a photo shoot and then go to work that night. And he said, you better take this because you're going to need the energy. I took it without knowing. And I stayed up for 3 days and I lost, I think, 12 pounds.
Wow.
Thin. So, you know, he clearly, because when I met him, he was very thin also. He was taking those pills on the side. I mean, I would assume.
Yeah, well, apparently he stopped taking them, right, Heidi? You also worked with Harry Belafonte in his show?
Yes, I did. Well, because after I was a showgirl, I became an ice skater. And I had learned, you know, ice skating when I was a little girl in Germany. My parents gave me you know, lessons.
Was that really the precursor to Nudes on Ice?
Correct. Yeah. Yes, that was me.
You became, I would think, even more popular in that case. You were probably getting more approached by more men.
Well, yes.
You were in town. You were in here in Las Vegas for 3.5
correct,
years, you
correct.
Say. When did it get to the point where you said, I've got to get out of here?
You know, when I was in my choreographer for the Ice show, he had asked myself and my roommate, the Swedish girl, to go with him to Miami to open up a show there. We always heard about Miami, so we went. And I did 6 months there, and I actually wound up hating Miami. But then my choreographer said, Heidi, I want you to come back to Vegas and do a floor show for me at the Riviera. And I told him at that time, I said, this will be my last show because I'm quitting show business and I'm moving to New York. Because I had made up my mind during the time I was doing the show in Miami.
So at this point, you're a veteran of how many years? How old were you at that time?
At that time, I was 20.
Okay.
So I moved to New York just about the same time, you know, at the very end of 1963. You know, I spent my first Christmas in New York.
So you become a model there and you meet, what was the name of the guy who, in New York City, who was the construction guy?
Armand.
So you didn't realize at the time that you had become a mistress of a guy who was in the mob.
Right, not at all. No, because I didn't know his last name. I think I was with him for 4 years before I found out his last name.
His last name was someone who was powerful that you had heard of.
Through my girlfriends that were there that I made, you know, friends with, they all said, you know, Heidi, you know, we're hanging out with some very fast guys here. And I would say, you know, you read too many novels or whatever. Because he was a total gentleman and very, very quiet. You know, honestly, I didn't know.
You ended up, coming back to Las Vegas then?
Yeah, but many years later, I was at that time in 1976. And I left New York at that time when New York was in really bad way. And my girlfriends that I stayed in touch with, they kept telling me, they said, Heidi, why don't you come back to Vegas? There's so many jobs available and it's great out here and blah, blah, blah. And that, you know, I'd had my son and my mother was always living with me. So I decided to go out there and my producer, he asked me to be in the show again. And I did. I did a rehearsal for about 2 hours and I realized every girl that was there was probably 20, 21, 22 years old. Obviously still looked good. But I said, no, I'm not going to keep up with the 20-year-olds. And I said, I really don't want to go back to show business. And I decided not to go that route again. And I wound up, you know, working as a pit clerk. And then I wound up in Baccarat. That's when my late husband got in touch with me and told me that he was getting a divorce. But that's another really long story.
I know that you've actually been working on a sequel to the book as well.
Yeah,
is that right?
It's been written, just not, it hasn't been edited.
It seems to me a pretty interesting take on everything and that whole life and back in a glamorous time in Las Vegas that it would really make for a great movie. Have you thought about that? Have you been approached
yeah,
about
actually,
that?
Yeah, actually, you know, I have been. I'm not sure where that's going to go, but...
I think you had mentioned in a previous interview that Jennifer Lawrence would be a pretty good bet to play you.
I think so. She might... Well, I don't know for sure because she's not 16 to play, or 20. I don't know how old she is. She's 24 now, maybe. I mean, she is pretty, and she's extremely talented.
I sure wish you the best of luck, especially for someone like me who I've lived here for 25 years, and I know of those days, and I was here when they blew up the Sands, and of course, now they're getting rid of the Riviera. I'm sure
right,
you know
yes,
that as well.
It, yes.
So if people want to go to your website,
lovetarget.com.
The book can be purchased on Kindle, paperback, hardback at that site or at Amazon.com.
Correct. And then, you know, you can buy it as an ebook, which is the cheapest one.
Well, we look forward to the sequel. Very nice talking to you, Heidi.
Here, and thank you for the call, okay?
Bye. Nice talking
Thanks.
To you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, the life that Heidi led was so fantastic that it just has to be made into a movie. And there's so much more in the book that we didn't have a chance to get around to. Her publicist said that she might be a little shy, but she was actually really charming. Pick that one up now. It's called Love Target. That's it for another edition of The Fake Show, now available on iTunes and SoundCloud. I'm Jim Tofte, and I'll see you next time.